Hello, hello, and welcome back to our Finding Better podcast. This is where we share real life experiences and wisdom of things that we've done, where we've been there and done that, or in terms of finding better in our lives. And the idea is that, you know, maybe you can pick something up and decide to apply some of that learning and some of that wisdom to your own life. My name is John Suzuki, and I am your host, and I am thrilled that you're here. This is one of those episodes that you're going to want to share and let people know about, because my guest today is a gentleman named John Gray. John Gray and I have known each other for quite some time. Over 10 years. I don't even want to count. It's been a long time. And we worked together at a company called HomeAway. And he also recently launched this book. It's called Cutting Hay While the Sun's Out, My Life in Pictures. And folks, you know, we're going to talk about this book, but I just want to tell you a couple of things as I introduce John. I read this book, and, you know, this whole podcast is about sharing what we've done in our lives that have led us to living the lives that we have, which we love. If there has ever been a blueprint to finding better and achieving better, it's in this book. John Gray, welcome.
Hey, John, nice to see you.
Amazing to see you. I want to just say one other thing about you. This man has been one of my, not a mentor, but one of the people who has really, well, mentor, absolutely. But one of the people who has really, really inspired me. And he's just an amazing guy. And when I met him, I don't know, John, you must have been like 13 years old or something. you're just so smart. And you were just such a good guy. That was the thing. And that's the reason why I'm so happy that you're here, is because I know that you're just a really great guy. And right now, folks, he is the CEO of a company called RV Share, for recreational vehicle share. And which is just an amazing business. If you guys are looking to rent an RV, go to rvshare.com. But that's not why we're here. We're here because I wanted to introduce you to John. What did I miss?
I think that's, I mean, you said it nicer than I would have said it.
About. Yeah. So we're here about finding better, and you know, I want to talk a little bit about your book, and because I was part of a journey that you talk about in your book. But what makes you tick? What makes you tick?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. I think with anybody, there's a complex set of things that make you who you are. And kind of, I think that is where you start is, you know, I think with most people, you go back to a few formative experiences throughout your life that help create who you ultimately become. When I think about the answer of kind of like what makes you tick now, it's pretty simple. It's about family. It's about, you know, going out and trying to do something in the world that makes the world a bit better. Most of my career has been spent working on things that get people out to travel and to experience travel in different ways. That, you know, at HomeAway, when we worked together, that was about getting people out to travel. And it was really a family travel play where you were renting a house instead of a hotel room. So you were going, spending time with the people who mean the most to you in places that were different and allowed you to explore. I think I do the same thing with RVs now. And that is, you know, a great way to get people out and to experience the outdoors. So when I think about it from the high level of, you know, what I get to do in my professional career, it's, you know, making people build wonderful memories with the people they care about the most. And then, you know, you kind of think of the why you do that. I think, you know, humans need to have something productive to do throughout the day. It's difficult if you just sit around and do nothing. So you have to do something. And I'm glad that I get to spend the time that I'm doing something that I think does make the world at least a little bit better. But, you know, the kind of why for me has long been about my family, right? I mean, that's the thing I care most about. So.
Absolutely. You know what? Thank you for sharing that, because, you know, as you talked about your professional career, you never talked about stock price. You never talked about making money. You never talked, you didn't mention anything about getting rich or any of that stuff. You talked about enriching the lives of other people and wanting to do your part to make the world better. That is awesome. And that's why I love you. You know, and I'll tell you, it's one of those things. My experience with you through the journey that we went through together at HomeAway. And HomeAway, by the way, was a company that brought vacation rentals. And I'll just say this, it brought vacation rentals to the mainstream of travel. HomeAway was eventually acquired by Expedia Group and is now known as Vrbo. John was at the very, very beginning of that whole process. And, you know, the thing about you, John, was that not only were you amazingly smart, but my impression of you has always been that you really care about people. You really care about people. And, you know, and
I think it's impossible to be whenever I teach, you know, like classes or even just talking to people who work at our company who are new to management, it's always the first thing I tell people is, in management, if you don't legitimately care for the people who are working for you, then you're in the wrong field. Because I think management always starts there. It must start there. Because ultimately you have a stewardship to help those people develop as people, as employees, as all those types of things. And I think it all starts with care. I don't think you can do anything else unless the strong foundation is kind of laid there. I'd say too, you know, when people talk about being smart, my perception of smart has always been to outwork. I think anything can look smart when you're prepared, right?
And absolutely.
And the thing that I always did, you know, earlier in my career, and, you know, as you get more experienced, you need to do this less, which is wonderful. But I put in the time to understand how everything works elementally within a business. And then from there, it always looks like you're smart. You're just well-researched.
Yeah. Outworking is a gift. You know, and people don't think about that. You know, what one thinks about me that is kind of the exact opposite of you is that I'm not smart. And, you know, I'm not book smart. I got C's and B's in, going to school. But my gift was my working, you know, and I never expected anybody to work any harder than me. And very few people did because I just worked. And, you know, so there's real value in that.
Well, John, I also think that something that when I think about you, I think you always did incredibly well was you were able to care about customers in such a way that you were able to represent their interests within a company, but also you knew them by name. You cared about their children. You treated it, you operated from the belief that it was not a zero-sum game and that, you know, ultimately we could grow an industry, a company, a team, and a collection of individuals together. And I think that's something that gets underrepresented in business when people look at measurables and not necessarily at the kind of softer side of it. And so I do think that's part of it, again, that kind of starts with care. And if you kind of start there, then, you know, of course your business needs to be successful. Of course you need to have, you know, if you care a lot about people, but you run your business into the ground, you're ultimately not caring much about them. If you,
right,
you know, care enough about people to let them do the wrong job for an extended period of time, that's not what care actually looks like in practice. So, I mean, it's not to say that, you know, care is softness. It's to say that care is individual empathy, understanding, and action that, you know, underpin your relationships to the people you interact with.
Care is heart. And, you know, because people, you know, I hear it all the time. Of course we care. Of course we care. You know, the corollary to that from your employee's perspective and from my customer's perspective is they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And, you know, I'll tell you, I have lived my life under that guidance. And, you know, that is also something that leads to lifetime value of a client. You know, we live today in a world where everything is transactional. Everything is get that money. But you know what? You can get that money. And if you show them that you care, you're going to get that money again and again, because they know that you care about them. And people do business with people they like and trust. And so that point, and folks, I mean, you talk about wisdom, right? If you're thinking about becoming a manager, start with care. If you're thinking about going into sales, start with care. And it's something that you really have to internalize and become and make part of you.
John, I'd add a point here, which is the type of business you're in, mm-hmm. I think makes that easier or harder. And what I'd say about, you know, what we call a marketplace business, where you're connecting buyers and sellers within usually an online environment, but it could also be a physical environment. What is great about that is the incentive structure is all nicely aligned. So it is in your incentive structure to care about the outcome of the customers, because ultimately the customers want to either go on a great trip or want to have the second home that they've purchased or the RV that they've purchased turn into a second source of income for them, right? Right. And I do think it is easier when you can very legitimately go to your customers and stakeholders and say, we're all trying to accomplish the same thing here. It's very easy to move out of a zero-sum mentality when that is true. And that's something where, as I've considered career options over time and everything else, I've thought about that incentive alignment. It's one of the things I like most about marketplace businesses, is that it enables you to kind of be on the same page with everyone you're working with.
Yes. Yes. I want to just share a quick story, an experience that I had with you. When we were both at HomeAway, and I had proposed, I was in sales. I headed up sales for the software group in the company. And I came to you and I came to Jeff Hurst and Bill Furlong with an idea of creating a role that we didn't have called a technology evangelist. And my role was one where my job was going to be to get out there and evangelize the technology and that we're offering, and also HomeAway. But more importantly, as I was doing that, understand where we were going wrong, where we were off, and bring that information back to the company so that we could do something about it. And first of all, John, I will always be grateful for you and Jeff for approving that role. But I'll never forget after you approved that role, I came into your office and I said, John, I said, okay, thanks for approving it. I want to make sure I understand what your expectations are in this new role that I'm going to be in. And you looked at me and you said, how would I know? It's your idea. And I was just kind of stunned. And you said, look, you're at a level, you need to go figure that out. You need to go figure that out yourself. We think it makes sense, but you go out and make something of it. And, you know, I walked out of your office and I remember thinking to myself, whoa, that's leadership, which is the exact opposite of what a lot of people think. They would think that leadership is leading me and telling me, here's how you're going to be successful. Here's what we want. But you didn't.
I mean, that's a highly dependent thing, right, John? Like, on some things you do have to be very objective focused.
Sure. But
on other things, I'd say, you know, I've long subscribed to the theory, and quite honestly, I've had a wonderful set of mentors throughout my career that enabled me to have this sort of autonomy, which has driven a lot of success and learning for me, which is to say, if you tell people what to accomplish, not how to accomplish it, they will probably blow you away and come away with a smarter way to accomplish it than if you told them exactly how to go do it. So I have tried to do that. And I think it generally works better as people are more experienced and kind of have a feel for what their job is. I think, you know, if you brought in somebody, say, fresh out of college to a job they'd never done before and told them to just go figure it out, it probably right. wouldn't work as well. I mean, the training right. certainly has its place, and, you know, there's a season for all of these things. But I will say, empowering senior people to go figure out things their own way and allowing them to create their flexibility, allowing them to create their level of impact within an organization, kind of exemplifies trust, exemplifies care, and ultimately gets you better business results. So that's, you know, just kind of in line with that. And honestly, I mean, you know, not for this to be a podcast that talks you up, but you made that a pretty easy decision, right? I mean, you had demonstrated for such a long period of time that you had a feel for our customer base ahead of anyone else in the company. So it was pretty easy to understand what you were trying to accomplish.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, okay. So I don't want to talk. I want you to talk. And so, I want you to tell us a little bit about this book. Sure. You know, I haven't read the whole thing, but I've read probably half of it, and I'm just, it's like no other book I've ever read. So tell us about this book and why you wrote it.
I think that's a compliment. I don't know.
it's totally a compliment. Yeah.
So look, I think every year I put something out there for myself to go do that's kind of, it's usually not career related. It's usually something that's kind of outside of that. You know, one year it was running a marathon, one year it was reading 30 books, just all sorts of things like that, that are, you know, just something that's kind of a new push to do something different. And this is during...
John,
yes.
Did you say read 30 books?
Yeah.
In a year?
In a year.
That's okay. You
I travel a lot for work. I've really picked up audiobooks, and it's kind of
that's amazing.
The audiobooks have just really rekindled my love for reading. That's been great. I mean, you know, if you can get an audiobook that's read in the voice of the author, it's pretty amazing. So that was one that really kind of helped kick that off for me. But anyway, for 2021, my objective was to write a book. And the purpose of the book was never to be really a commercial endeavor. It was, you know, I wanted basically my kids to be able to hear my story and my words, right, is kind of the way I thought about it. So that's how I wrote it and what I did with it. I showed it to a few people and they were like, I've read emails from you and they're not that good. So I was really surprised when I read the book. It was pretty good. So I got an editor and worked with an editor to make it a little bit better, kind of told it through the vantage point of 12 photographs. And that was kind of the part that I think made it a little bit different and honestly a bit more engaging as a story. And got to the point where I was like, you know, if this book catches somebody at the right time in their life, it can make a pretty meaningful difference to them. So that got me to the point where I wanted to publish it, you know, talk to my kids, talk to my wife about if they were okay with that, because it's, you know, it's a pretty deeply personal story, right? And they were. And so I published it. And one of the things that was really important to me in publishing it was that it was not a commercial endeavor. Mm-hmm. So it's one where, you know, 100% of the proceeds from it get donated and, you know, to causes that are important to me. And, you know, it's gone pretty well. I'd say the other thing about it is I went into it with very, very low expectations around, you know, what it would sell, all that sort of stuff, because I was firmly writing the story, you know, for me and for my family, not for, you know, some sort of external approval. And that is absolutely the way to write a book. I definitely learned that from it. If you write the book for you, it's going to be successful. And, you know, some of the people who've reached out to me, who I never would have expected to hear from again in my life, has been probably the coolest part of it. You know, people telling me, wow, you know, I've known you for years and I had no idea this kind of perspective on you. And so that part I think was really cool. You know, it's cool. Amazon makes it really easy now. You can kind of log in and see what and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you see that it gets sold in other countries and all that's very cool, you know, and to know that it has that sort of reach is very cool. You know, it's one of the big things for me was I got it into the library at the high school that I went to. Right. And like, that was a really cool milestone.
Nice.
And, you know, so there's a bunch of things like that that have come from it that have been really cool. But it all started for me with, you know, kind of an accountability and a, you know, just desire to have it to where my kids would understand why I did some of the things I did over the time. Right. Because I do think it's something that is lost in most cases is I don't think you have much context from your parents or from your grandparents or anything like that. You typically, you know, see those things in pictures that capture a moment without the surrounding details. So that was really what I was trying to get after. And, you know, it was one where I was nervous going into kind of every different phase of the process of doing it, but I'm proud of what it became and happy with the end result for sure.
You know, when I have guests on my podcast, one of the things I say when they say, well, what part of me do you want me to share? And I tell them, think about what you'd share with your kids and your family, the kinds of things that you would share with them to help them live a better life. I just realized why I like your book so much is because you wrote it for your family. You know, you're sharing it with the world for us to see. I mean, the advice that you're giving here is the advice you give to your own family, your kids, right? And you're telling them about who you are, how you think, and giving us a glimpse into that is really a gift. It's a wonderful gift, John. So thank you for doing that. And, you know, you say, you know, I came to the realization a while ago that, you know, we all have four grandparents. We all have eight great grandparents and we all have 16 great, great grandparents. I know nothing about any of my great grandparents. I only know something about one of my grandparents because I never met the other three. And so, you know, one of the things I'm going to be doing with this podcast is I'm going to be launching a book called Finding Better. And it's going to be a compilation of my stories. But it's all going to be based around the kinds of things that I want my kids to know and their kids to know.
Yep.
And I think that what you've done is a wonderful one because you know what, your great, great grandkids are going to be able to take a look at this. And they're going to be able to go, hey, look, wow, it was like this back then. They actually drove cars.
Probably have an AI read it to them or something.
Or exactly right. But the important thing, whether it's AI read it to them or whomever, it's about you. It's about where they come from, right? And it gives them something to look at, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I mentioned this at the beginning of this podcast episode, that this is for me, this can kind of serve as a blueprint, right? A blueprint for folks. And now I understand why I felt that way. You wrote it for your family.
I would be, it's one of those, the idea of kind of starting with photos and building it out from there is one that if anybody wants to take there, I'm happy for them too. I do think it's an interesting way to tell a story and, you know, I'd love for people to use it.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. John, there is so much content that we talked about in this conversation that I've learned. And, you know, we talked about leadership. We talked about management. We talked about care. We talked about sales. We talked about customers. We talked about love. We talked about life. It's just now I realize why I like you so much. And so I really, and by the way, folks, I don't work for John. I used to work for John. You know, so if anybody is, if any of you are thinking, well, he's being really nice to John because he works. No. This is my heart about this man. And I am so happy and appreciate that you came and joined us and share a part of your life with everybody.
Happy to spend some time. It's nice to see you, John.
Yeah, you too, John. You got anything else?
Not really. I mean,
okay. All right.
Covered a lot.
Yeah, we did. So folks, again, the name of his book, and by the way, I've told you guys, we're not selling books. We don't sell products here, but I do tell you about stuff. If you want to check it out, it's called Cutting Hay While the Sun's Out, My Life in Pictures. Wonderful, wonderful book. John, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, John. Talk to you later.
Okay. See y'all next time.